Hello, good morning everyone.
Hi.
Okie dokie. Mic sounds okay at the moment?
Yes.
I don't know. Just amazing. Look at that. I know what I'm doing. All right, let me pray and then we'll look into God's word together. Father, thank you for your word that teaches us and draws us closer to you. And I pray that this morning that you will speak to us and teach us and that we might be encouraged by this word today. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Fiona, for those of you who don't know me. I am a chaplain in prison and on the streets in our CBD, a community chaplain. Well, today I'll be covering 2 Peter 3:14 to 18, which brings us to the end of our sermon series on 2 Peter. Peter, the disciple of Jesus, has written this wonderful letter that encourages us. As Richard Barth pointed out last week when he preached, this book of 2 Peter looks to the past, what Jesus has done for us. It points us, the people he was writing to the present times, the issues of false teachers in the midst. And it points us and pointed them to the future, the coming of the new heavens and the new earth that will come when Jesus returns. And today we're going to continue to look at what this future hope means for us and how we can be encouraged by Peter in how we live today. So we find ourselves today with Peter beginning at verse 14 by saying, "Dear friends, since you are looking forward to this." And by this, he means heaven, which he's just spoken about prior. He means the new heavens and the new earth, which will come when Jesus returns. Are you looking forward to heaven? Are you looking forward to our Lord's return? And I want to share with you that in my early 20s, I was petrified at the thought of death and heaven. And I really had to work on getting my head around it. And I had to work on this with God. And because of drawing to God in this time of fear, God worked in me and he taught me to rely on him and to cling to the reality and the hope of heaven, that there is heaven. To cling to the hope that Jesus will heal our broken world and the broken lives on our earth today. Therefore, looking forward to heaven and looking forward to Jesus' return shapes how we act. It shapes how we act in two ways, and these are the two points that I want to touch on today. The first is our personal discipleship, our personal walk with God. And Peter places importance on that in this last section of the passage and gives us some instructions to the development of our godly character. And the other point is something that really stands out to me from verse 15, and that is that God's patience means salvation. God's patience means salvation for you and me, and it also means salvation for those who don't know our amazing God yet. So let's get into it. Verse 14, "Dear friends, since you are looking forward to this heaven, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him." There is a relationship to be had with Jesus now, and it creates change in our characters. And this change makes us more like him as we wait for heaven and his second coming. And this process of change in our lives is called sanctification. I love this verse from 1 Corinthians 4:16 that puts it like this. We don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Friends, I'm turning 40 this year, and would you agree with me that, not looking at me, but looking at ourselves, that we start seeing the outward signs of aging around the age of 35? What do you reckon? Or maybe as soon as we have our first child and the grey hairs start shooting out and the aches in our joints start appearing. Our body is, it's aging, it's fading away. But this passage from 1 Corinthians says that we, not all our parts fade away. Our relationship with God, which can, when we make effort, only get stronger and stronger. It's the best kind of aging, really. This week, I caught up with two of my absolute closest friends. And we have been inseparable since year 9, when I was 14 and I changed schools. And that's an example of a friendship that gets better and better with time as we continue to feed into one another, catch up with one another, urge one another on. And this is the relationship that God wants us to have with him. Peter wants us on Christ's return to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. This is in contrast to the false teachers that he's talking about from verses 16 and 17, who will not be found spotless, who will not be found blameless, and they won't be at peace with him, unfortunately. So how are we to be found spotless and blameless? Well, let me assure you, it is not by striving and good works. Jesus has done that part for us. He's done all the important stuff. He's taken our sins on him. He's died for us. He's put them to death. He's conquered that death and he's risen to new life so that we might be forgiven and brought into that new life with him. So we will be found spotless and blameless when we turn to God daily and ask for forgiveness. When we slip up, which I do very regularly, definitely daily, we need to stay grounded in the truth of God's word, the word of God, the Bible. Then we will know peace, peace with God, and we'll have nothing to fear when he returns. As a continuation of this verse, we can read verse 18, where Peter encourages us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith should be alive and active. Growing and developing constantly. Now, you may remember, don't blame you if you don't, but you might remember earlier this year I preached on Jesus being the true vine and that we're joined to him. He is the vine and we are the branches. And God is the gardener who prunes off the bits that are not needed anymore so that we can grow more and more in the character of God. A commentary I was reading during the week on 2 Peter stated it this way: there must always be constant growth in the believer's spiritual life, for stagnation spells disintegration. As in the natural world, so in the spiritual sphere, growth is not a matter of a leaf or twig making some strenuous individualistic effort. We don't strive for this. Growth comes from maintaining a healthy relationship with the parent vine, with God. So this morning, I want to give you a word of encouragement. Because as I look around this room, at the people who I know here, and the people I've heard of, I know so many of you are diligent with your faith. You show up weekly. You encourage each other. You spur me on in my daily walk. And so what I see in you is a group of Christians who are striving and seeking out a relationship with God. And that is so encouraging. So please be encouraged. And so we must continue this way, continue growing in the grace and knowledge of God. Don't give up. Read his word daily. Talk to him daily. Meet with others in Bible study weekly, monthly. And if we do these things, we won't be able to help but keep growing. We will grow. And if you need company on this journey, which I really encourage you toward, talk to Trev or Karen or Andy or myself and join a small group. Join a group of people where you can discuss God with each other, discuss your spiritual life and be encouraged onward further together. So that brings me to point two. Point one being continue to work on your faith, as Peter urges us to. Well, point two, Peter says in verse 15, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. So just to touch very, very briefly on what Paul is saying here, what Peter's saying here about Paul, is that Peter is acknowledging that Paul has written many letters at this time, and that some of these letters are hard to understand. And I think we can all agree that, you know, we can be thankful that we have good preachers in our midst that can explain the letters of Paul to us, can't we? And so Peter is basically affirming that at that time, when they were reading the letters, it was exactly the same. But what he is saying is that false teachers are basically distorting these words. They're distorting the letters and they're teaching Paul badly. So it is important for us to keep on bouncing ideas off one another if we find words in the Bible hard to understand or passages difficult, so that we won't be drawn into false teaching. So continue to talk with your Bible study or Trev and Karen about the Word of God when you find it hard. But the bit that I love, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. So we're looking forward to this coming of the new heavens and the new earth. We're trying to, at least. That's what I'm encouraging us to do this morning. So we must participate in encouraging others to know God and the salvation that is readily available for all people. It's readily available for you, for me, and all people. Before this, in verse 9 of chapter 3, Peter says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That is what God wants. So that is why we must hope in God's return. We must hope in Christ's return, bringing about the new heavens and the new earth. Otherwise, how can we have a purpose in sharing with others? How can we have any urgency about sharing with others? We might not have an assurance that we think that Christ could come at any moment. And certainly, I don't know when he's going to come. That's why the Bible encourages us to keep watch for the thief in the night, because that is how Christ could come back at any time. But let me share a story with you about about patience. I have told you, as when I started, that I'm a prison chaplain and a community chaplain, and I hear a lot of really hard stuff, a lot of hard stories, stories of addiction, death, abuse, joblessness, homelessness, and that leads to hopelessness for many people. And hearing these stories brings me a lot of sadness. And because of this, it kind of urges me to share Christ's love with others when the time is right. So one of the things that I try and do is commit to people patiently, having a long-term view of growing relationship with others in the hope that Christ will, at some stage, allow his name to be shared in that relationship. Well, about 2 years ago, I started meeting with a woman in prison, and she's been in there for about 5 years. And so, just imagine, so that was 2 years ago, she's already been in for 3 years. And we'd never really talked before apart from a good hello. She's someone who really keeps to herself. But on this particular occasion, a couple of years ago, one of the staff had just given me the heads up that that this woman was having a really hard time and that perhaps she might be receptive to a conversation. So I approached her, and sure enough, she was very open to talk about what she was going through. And she was having a really hard time with her family on the outside of prison. And as you can appreciate, we all have family issues, but when you're stuck in one place, those family issues can become really big and really hard to deal with. Well, a couple of weeks ago, her father died, and this was really traumatic for her. She couldn't be there for the funeral, and she couldn't say her goodbyes, and she was left to deal with that by herself on the inside. And what had happened was I'd been checking in with her every 1 to 2 weeks for 2 years. And on this particular morning when I went to visit her, I'd come to check in with her about something completely different. I knew she was getting her parole soon, so I was excited to find out if she had got her date yet. And when I walked in, she just looked devastated and told me that her father had died. Well, a week later, I went to check in on her, and it was the day that her dad was being buried. And for any of us, we would have a funeral, wouldn't we? Well, she couldn't go to the funeral. And in my mind, you know, you mark an occasion, don't you? You mark an occasion with a funeral or by doing something. And so I just, seeing her so upset, I said to her, for the first time in our whole relationship, she's not been receptive to me, and I said, could I pray for your dad? I'm just so conscious that you don't have a funeral today. Please, could I pray for you? And she said, oh. And I said, oh, well, you know, looking at her face, oh, I can pray for you in my own time. It's fine. She goes, well, what do you do? And I just said, tell me 3 things you love about your dad, and I'll just thank God for him for you. And so she shared these 3 beautiful things that she loved about her dad. Sorry. And so I thank God that he brought her fish and chips and that he played with her. And she thanked me so much for praying with her, you know, so simple. Well, I went back the next week and I just felt like God wouldn't let me leave the room until I'd asked her if I could pray again, which is so funny because thank you, my love. Thank you, Karen. And she was like, okay. And I was like, oh, okay. And when I finished praying for her, she goes, is that what prayer's like? Is that what you do? And I was like, yeah, I just talk to God. Like, I just talk to him. And she's like, I love hearing you pray. You know, and she's leaving in a couple of weeks from prison. She's going home. And I just know that God loves her so much. And God had this plan for her. And she's been in for 5 years, you know, and I've met with her for 2 years. So please let me encourage you to patience. This is what I just want to say. God's patience. We need to have that gift of the Spirit in us also. Patiently walking beside people while also having in our hearts that we could share our hope with them at any time. We have a hope of a reality that Christ will return. Maybe soon, maybe not so soon, who knows? But Jesus will return and he will bring the new heavens and the new earth with him. And the best things we can do while we wait are to keep up a great relationship with God. Just keep it up. And be ready to share your faith with people who don't know the Lord yet. Please let me pray. Lord God, I just thank you for your loving kindness. And I thank you that you are so personable, that you work in our midst, and you are like the best friend from high school. You are like the loving father who brings fish and chips. And God, I pray that my friend in prison will know you. And I pray that each of us who have a friend just like that, that we will be able to share your good news with them. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.